The word Ebenezer, as I mentioned to you, means the stone of help. The stone of help. If you'll notice in that verse, it explains the meaning of the word, because it says he called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto, that is, up to this point, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So really the verse explains to you what the word Ebenezer means. It means the stone of help, or it refers to how the Lord helped them. And as I mentioned, this was for a reminder. It was set up to remind these people of how the Lord had helped them. And I talked about how I think it's important that we have some Ebenezers in our lives. And I don't necessarily mean that you need to go out and get you a stone like Samuel did and set it up in your living room or your yard or whatever. I mean, if you want to do that, then that's perfectly all right. There's no problem with it. But just something that reminds you. Like I said, it could be something as simple as a diary, or just a book where you document times where you know the Lord answered a prayer for you, or he did something special in your life. He met some kind of need, some way that he helped you, just some way to remind yourself of how God has intervened and how God has helped you throughout your life as a Christian, and even in days before you became a Christian. And I told you I was going to mention some reasons why it's important to be reminded of the Lord's help. And I want to do that first of all tonight. And these are just some things that I thought about, reasons why it's important to be reminded of how God has helped us and how he's intervened at times. One is so we will be thankful. So we'll be thankful. I think it's very important that you and I maintain throughout our lives a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of gratefulness to God for his blessings in our lives. And if you're not careful, and when I say you, I'm talking about all of us, if we're not careful, as we go through life and go through different valleys and different trials and different tribulations and hardships, sometimes we'll get so concentrated on what we're going through at the moment that we cease to be grateful for what the Lord has already done in our lives. So I think it's important that you have those Ebenezers, those reminders where you can just look back and reflect on those things that God's already done in your life, so that no matter what's going on right now, you still have a grateful spirit. Because the Lord pays very close attention to how grateful we are for his blessings. And that's something that can be proven multitudes of times from the Word of God. The Lord is very much concerned about how thankful we are as believers. So I think it's important that you have these things to remind you so that you always are thankful. Yeah, you may be in a tough spot right now, and certainly I wouldn't try to minimize that. Or you may be in a tough spot tomorrow, or a week from now, or a year from now, you may be in a tough spot. But even then, when you're in that tough spot, you still have something to be thankful for. And you have his help in the past to be thankful for. So, yeah, you might be going through a rough time now. But even where you are in that difficulty, you can still have a spirit of gratitude if you just remind yourself on how good the Lord's already been in your life. So you need them Ebenezers to help you stay thankful. Also, I thought about this. It's important to have these Ebenezers, these reminders of God's help, so we will trust him in the present as well as in the future. If you have that Ebenezer there, then when you're going through something, like right now, or perhaps it's something that you face in the future, you can better trust him because you know how he's helped you already. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, this reminder, by looking back at this, you see what God's done. You see prayers he's answered. You see how he's helped you through all the other trials and the tribulations. And somebody is at the door out there. Probably think it's Miss Dolly. Okay. But anyway, you look back and you see those times where he's helped you, those times where he's provided a need or answered a prayer, where he got you through a bad situation before. And what that does is it lets you know, hey, if he got me through it back here all these other times, not just one time, but all these other times in my life when I've been going through something, he's helped me, he's helped me, he's helped me, and I'm still here now because he helped me. You know what that does? That bolsters your faith, and it helps you to trust him now, and it'll help you to trust him later when you go through something because you know if he did it back here time and time again, then guess what? If he did it back then, guess what? He can do it right now. Or he can do it tomorrow. Or he can do it whenever I go through something. So it's important to be reminded for the sake of your faith, your trust in the Lord. And then one other thing I thought about in having these Ebenezers is it will help you to be a testimony to the goodness of God, to his help and his ability to take care of whatever somebody might be going through. By having these reminders, it helps us to speak up better, I believe, on his behalf. Not that the Lord necessarily has to have us to speak up, but according to the Bible, he wants us to speak up. He wants us to testify, to tell others. And what having these things can do is help you share your testimony with somebody. You can testify and say, hey, let me tell you about something in my life that God helped me with. And you can reflect back on a particular situation or maybe a whole lot of situations in your life and just share those things with somebody that might be going through a hard time, who might be having a difficulty, and maybe their faith is a little weak. Maybe they're having some questions. Maybe they got some doubt. Maybe they're wondering if God's going to pull them through or if God can take care of them. And what you can do if you have these reminders is you can say, hey, let me tell you about a time where the Lord did this for me, and share a personal experience from your own life of how God has helped you. So it's important that you have these reminders. Whatever you want to do, whether it's a stone or whatever, just have that. I think it's good. I really do think it's good for Christians. And I don't even know, I use the term diary. I don't even know if anybody keeps diaries anymore, if you even use that type of terminology. I know when I was a little kid and a young teenager, it was, you know, everybody had a little diary. They wrote things. Maybe the better term, the more mature term would be journal. Would that be better? Keep you a journal, okay? But if you go through something and you see a very definite intervention on behalf of God where he helps you and he answers a prayer, write it down. Just take some time and write it down and write down the date and maybe just jot down a little information there about just what God did. And you know what you can do? You can just look back through that stuff. And we all hang on to things like that, don't we? I guarantee you, I could go into the home of everybody in this room right here, and you got a photo album somewhere, don't you? Don't you? Of your grandkids, of your own kids, of you and your husband years ago when y'all both had hair and didn't have wrinkles all over, you know? Isn't that right? when you didn't keep your teeth in a cup, that kind of thing. You know what that photo album is? That's a reminder of past blessings and things that were special to you. And you know what you do? You may not do it all the time, but you know what you do sometimes? You drag them things out and look at them, don't you? And you think about those things and those experiences that you had. And I tell you, just like what I was talking, not only do you pull them out sometimes when it's just you or you and your husband or you and your wife and look at them, but you know what you also do? You drag them out when company comes over, don't you? Sometimes. And you sit down with company and you say, let me show you these pictures of my grandchildren. Let me show you these pictures of my children. And you each one of those pictures has some kind of special meaning and significance to you, to the point that you will stop and say, oh, I remember when we was at so-and-so and what was going on, and you just got all the details, and you can explain that, and you share those things. Well, that's what I'm talking about here, having like a spiritual photo album, you know, something where you document the blessings of God in your life. Put it down. I mean, if it's all right to take pictures of our family and put it in a book and look back at it, don't you think it would be all right to have a book where you documented what God's done for you in your life? Wouldn't that be all right to do something like that? So that you, maybe you're having a bad day. You know what you can do? You can go drag that book out. You can flip that thing open and you can say, you know what? Lord, back 2010, I was having a bad day, and or I was in the middle of a bad trial, and I prayed about this, and this is what you did for me. You can be encouraged by it. You can help yourself to be grateful. It'll help you to trust him right now, and it's something you can use to testify on his behalf with others. Anyway, verse number 13. And in verse 13 and 14, you're going to see three results that come about whenever people get back to where they need to be in their spiritual life. If you remember earlier on in this chapter, Samuel told these people, the people of Israel, that they needed to return with all of their heart to the Lord. That's back up in verse number 3. And I talked about how the very fact that he told them to return showed that they had departed. They had forsaken the Lord. So he tells them, you need to return, and he told them what they needed to do. And we saw how in verse number 4 it said that they did what they were told to do. So these people have turned back to the Lord, and they're back in a better spiritual condition at this point. Now, their motive might not necessarily have been the best in the world, but thank the Lord they did come back. They got rid of the false gods, and they're in a much better place spiritually than they were in the beginning of this chapter. And what I want you to see here is what happened when they returned to the Lord. Well, we saw already where that the Lord gave them victory over the Philistines. But look at what it says in verse 13. So the Philistines were subdued. Subdued. Sub is a prefix, right? Miss Rosalind, is that correct? That's a prefix. And it means under or below, correct? Like a submarine. Okay, well, that thing, a submarine's under the water. A subway, most of the time, those things run underground, something like that. To submerge, that means you put it under something. So when it says that the Philistines were subdued, that means that they were put under the people of Israel. In the beginning of this chapter, and for a while, the Philistines had been on top of the people of Israel. They had been in control of Israel, dominating their lives, taking from them. But now that they have returned, God has intervened, and he has subdued them. He's put the people of the Philistines under the people of Israel. And it says they came no more into the coast of Israel. What I see there is relief. One result of them coming back is relief. It says the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. So whenever they returned to God, the Lord blessed and delivered them from the bondage of these enemies, gave them relief from their enemies so that they're up here and the enemies are down here. And that's one thing that'll happen in a person's life. If they're a saved person and they're backslid and they've gotten away from God, if they'll come back to the Lord and get where they need to be spiritually, He'll give them victory over their enemies. He'll give them relief from the bondage and the oppression of the enemy. And we've talked about it so many times before, how that we have very real enemies as God's people. The devil is our enemy, right? The Bible says he's our adversary. He's against us. The world, the system of this world, is our enemy. This world hates God and hates God's people and hates God's word and hates God's church. The world is in opposition to us. And then we have the enemy of our flesh that we have to deal with every day. And whenever we get away from the Lord, those enemies have control in our lives. We're in bondage to the world or to the flesh or the devil or maybe all three at the same time. But those enemies are in charge and they're calling the shots when we get away from God. But when we'll return to the Lord with all of our heart and put Him first and have no other gods before Him, but make Him the priority and He's the Lord of our life, He'll give us relief from our enemies. That means that instead of the enemies up here and us down here, it'll be reversed. He'll give you victory in your life so that you're not dominated by your enemies. But look at the beginning of verse 14. In the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. A second thing I see there is restoration. Not just relief, but restoration. Whenever they had gotten away from God, the enemies took over. The Philistines took over, and they took things from the people of Israel. One thing they took was their land and their cities. You see that in verse 14? And the cities which the Philistines had taken. Don't ever be deceived. Your enemies will always take from you. They will always take from you. And what I find here is that when they got back where they were supposed to be with the Lord, they were able to get all that stuff back. All that the enemies had taken, they got it restored to them. And I can promise you, you get away from the Lord, the enemy's going to take some stuff from you. Can you think of some things that the enemy would take from a child of God? Now, the glorious, wonderful truth that you must always hang your hat on if you're a Bible believer is the one thing that your enemies can never take from you is your salvation. Praise the Lord. But let me say hastily, they can take everything else you possess. Everything else, without exception, they can take. But think about some stuff. What's some stuff that the devil and the world and your flesh might take from you if you get out of fellowship with God? How about your joy? How about peace? That peace of God that passeth all understanding. The devil loves to take your joy. He loves to take your peace. He can take your contentment. He can take your health. He can take your life. The Lord let him. The devil and your enemies can take all sorts of things from you. Your family, so much, so much. Take your integrity, your morals. Just put you in the dumpster. I mean, just make an absolute mess out of you. That's what your enemies can do. And it's what your enemies will do if you get away from the Lord and stay out of fellowship with Him. And we've used this as an illustration before, but To me, one of the greatest illustrations in the Bible of what can happen in a Christian's life when they get away from the Lord is the story of the prodigal son in the New Testament. I mean, you read that story and look at all that son lost when he got away from his father. He lost everything. I'm talking about as far as worldly possessions go. He lost everything and wound up in a horrible, miserable, terrible condition. But think about the end of that story now. When that young man finally woke up and came to his senses and got back where he was supposed to be with his father, what did his father do? He restored all that stuff that was taken from him, didn't he? And that's what you got right here. Israel got away from God. The Philistines took over and took their cities from them. But whenever they got back where they were supposed to be, that was restored to them. So you get relief, but you also get restoration when you get back where you belong spiritually. You'll get that joy back and that peace back and that zeal for God back, that love for the Lord back. All of that stuff can be restored. And that's a glorious truth, because I know whether anybody would admit it or not, all of us from time to time get in a spiritual condition where we don't need to be. And I'm pretty sure, very confident in fact, that all of us from time to time, because we get where we're not supposed to be, we lose the joy of our salvation. And we lose the peace of God. And we're not as zealous for the things of the Lord as we need to be. But the wonderful thing about all that is you can get it all back, amen? Isn't it good to know that if you do get away from God and all that stuff gets messed up, that if you'll come back to the Lord, you can get that back? Isn't that wonderful to know? Well, you can if you want it back. Sometimes you wonder if people aren't happy being miserable because they just choose to live that way. But if you're away from God and you've lost a whole bunch of stuff, you can have some restoration in your life if you'll come back to the Lord. And that's the thing about that story I referenced about the prodigal son. The father didn't come down there and waller in that pig pen with him. You understand? When he got out of that mess and came back to his father, everything was taken care of. If a Christian chooses, he'll just let you waller around in that mess and just be miserable. He'll just let you waller around in it. Live without joy and live without peace. But if you'll ever decide, hey, I'm in a mess, I'm going to go get this right, you come back to the Lord, you can have restoration in your life. And then notice the last thing in verse 14, there's rest. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. The Amorites were also the enemies of Israel. But whenever they get right with the Lord, it's an interesting thing to me. Not only does he put the Philistines under them, but he gives them peace with some other enemies as well. He takes care of not just the Philistines, but the Amorites when they get right with the Lord. There's peace there. The Bible says this. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's what the Bible says. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And that's what you have here. These were their enemies, but God gives peace there. Why? Because they've got back where they needed to be. It wasn't because the Amorites changed. It was because the Israelites changed. Because God's people got back where they needed to be, God gave them blessing so that there was peace between them and the Amorites. You'll have rest, relief, restoration, and rest. I think about how the Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There are people today, saved people, that are in just turmoil, unbelievable. I mean, their whole life is just filled with turmoil and they're so heavy laden right now, and they're just wearing themselves to a frazzle every day with all this mess that's going on, and it's because they've got away from God. They're not where they need to be spiritually, and just one thing after another is coming up in their life, and they're weary all the time. And the wonderful news is that they can have rest from that stuff if they'll just come back to the Lord. But it's a matter of them making their mind up to come back and get where they need to be spiritually. And then the last three verses, and we'll stop. It says in verse 15, and Samuel judged all Israel all the days of his life. Now, obviously, all the days of his life is going to be a reference to all the days from the time that he started judging to the time that he died. Because obviously when he's a little baby in his mother's arms, he's not judging Israel. You understand that? So all the days of his life is like from when he actually became a judge till it was over, all the days of his life he judged Israel. And judged Israel in the sense that he was literally a judge. The people would come to him, or he would go to them, as we'll see in a moment, and he would judge about the different situations that would come up between people. If people were at odds about something or whatever the case, any situation come up, he would judge about that. And it says in verse 16, and he went from year to year in circuit. A circuit is like a circle, right? So he's just making him a loop here. He leaves out, we'll see in a moment, from his house. And when he leaves out, he goes to these three places and just makes him a circle, and he winds up back at home. But it says he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. So he would go every year. He'd make a trip to these places, and these people would come there, and he would judge them. He would take care of different situations that were going on. But then, verse 17, it says his return was to Ramah. So he would leave out, he'd go to these three places, but he'd come back to Ramah. The reason he came back there is because that was home for him. It says, for there was his house. So Samuel had a home, he had a house that he lived in, and his house was in Ramah. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. So he judged them in Bethel, Gilgal, Mizpah, and also in Ramah. When he was back home, he would judge people as they came there to be judged. But notice the last thing, and you don't want to just miss it. It's easy to read the verse and just kind of overlook it. The very last thing it says there is there he built an altar unto the Lord. And what that shows me is that the Lord was the priority in Samuel's life. Yeah, he had his home there. He had his house. It's where he lived. But Samuel was a man whose mind was on the Lord. He didn't just go there and build a house and have all this stuff, you know, that goes along with that. Yeah, he had his house, but he made sure he built him an altar there too. Because his mind was on spiritual things and on God, and he wanted to have him a place of worship, a place where he could sacrifice and give offerings to the Lord. So he didn't orchestrate God out of his life. He didn't get so involved in things down here, temporal things, having a home and a life and a career and all this other stuff. He didn't get so caught up in all that God kind of got thrown to the curb or kicked to the side to where God wasn't a priority. The Lord was always a priority in Samuel's life. And the Lord always, always needs to be the supreme priority in our lives. Amen. And we got things we have to do. Living in this world, you have stuff you have to do. But you need to make sure that the Lord is the priority, that you always give him the proper place in your life, that you have a church that you're connected with. I, you know, this is an altar, but when I thought about that altar, I thought about how Because we don't have to build altars now, right? I mean, we don't have to do that. Because we don't have to offer literal sacrifices and things like that. But what could that altar represent? What could I establish in my life? Okay, I'm not going to go out my yard and build an altar and sacrifice a goat on it, okay? I don't have to do that anymore. But what could I establish? What are some things that I could set up and establish in my life so that I made sure the Lord was always a priority with me? Well, I don't know what y'all think about, but when I was thinking about that, because that's what I thought about, I was thinking about, you know, what would my altar be? Present day, what would my altar be? My place of worship. Well, obviously, you can worship the Lord anywhere, right? If you're saved, you worship God anywhere. It doesn't matter. But the specific thing that I thought about was church. Just having a church in my life, which is something that a lot of saved people don't have. And a lot of them don't have it by choice. You know, it's their choice. But one thing you can do is make sure that you are in a good Bible-believing church with a good church family and you're faithful in attendance to that. That could be your altar, that thing, that place where you can come apart from this world and just get away, if it's not but just for a few hours, but just get away from all the mess that's going on out there. Amen? Just get away. That altar, that was a place where Samuel could just leave it all behind, go out to that altar, make a sacrifice, worship God, just have that time. And even though you can worship anywhere, I think it's good to have a good church home and a church family where you come in and you meet with God's people and you just gather around the Bible and you pray and you fellowship and you come apart. Just get away from the mess that is in this world for just a few hours so that you can have fellowship with the Lord. But anyway, that's what I was thinking about. Absolutely, absolutely. It could even be a particular spot like, you know, people have special places to them, you know, where they just go and get by themselves and pray, read the Bible and stuff like that. But just that something to where you stay connected to the Lord and have that time. I heard a saying one time, if you don't come apart, you're going to come apart. You understand that? If you don't come apart, you're going to come apart. And there's a lot of truth in that. If you don't come apart from all this mess and just have you an altar somewhere, just that place where you can get away for a while, you get overwhelmed by life and all the stuff that goes on. Any questions? All right. Well, I appreciate y'all being here tonight. You stand up. We'll be dismissed. Don't forget about the financial statements. If you want to get one of those, you can come by and pick that up. Brother Randy, you dismiss us, please.